is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint, the Midweek Report.
And welcome to Viewpoint, Midweek Report. I'm your host, Ray Brookstein, sitting in for Ilana Friedman. Well, folks, reporting on emerging news stories is a little different for me than my weekday show, The Trump Chronicle. Current events are coming fast and furious, but this week I noticed a common thread that's let's pull the wool over their eyes again. The lead story, in my view, is the spy versus spy investigating the investigators and the Attorney General Barr's revelations about spying. Then we could move to the border crisis and Trump's plan to relocate the illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities. And I'd like to go through some of the pros and cons on that. Also talking about Candace Owens, who went in front of Congress this week. And can you believe it that she was defined as a white nationalist? And if we have time, I'd like to talk about another fiasco in New York State where I grew up, telling us that when it comes to tuitions, illegal immigrants take preference over Gold Star families. So my two guests this evening are Ava Armstrong and Kat the Hammer. They will help us deep dive into the news and shed their light on these events. Ava Armstrong is a political analyst. She's a best-selling author. She also, behind the scenes, produces many of the shows that we listen to and enjoy on the America Out Loud platform. And she's also a regular guest political commentator. And for me, I just love her tongue-in-cheek style. She's a marvel. Kat the Hammer is a major influencer. She's a retired law enforcement officer. She served 20 years. She walked away from the Democrats some time ago, and she's also been a guest on the Trump Chronicle several times. And I love it when she says, okay, here's the deal. So listen for it tonight. I'm sure you'll hear it. So welcome, Kat. Welcome, Ava.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
Well, I want to dive into this spy versus spy. And frankly, you know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and what was really etched into American culture was spying. I watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Get Smart, with Don Adams and Barbara Feltman. Who could forget Agent 86 and Agent 99? And then you had Ian Fleming's trilogies of 007, starting with James Bond, Sean Connery, and morphed into Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig, and we know all about that. Also, the Jason Bourne Chronicle. So those were the TV and the movie versions, you know, somewhat tongue-in-cheek. But now we move into the real players, the CIA, KGB, FBI, NSA, etc. And they think that we can be fooled. I mean, they're acting like immature children that are keeping something from their parents. Ava, help me out. Are they acting like immature children?
You're so accurate. Yes, they are. And being a thriller writer, I have to really, full disclosure here, I know a lot of things that probably the average person wouldn't know, only because I've dared enough to investigate and probe former people who have worked in those positions. Yes, there is a spying situation going on, and it was utilized very much against the law on a sitting president, Donald J. Trump. And we will get to the bottom of this with Mr. William Barr, who is our new attorney general. And I'm very impressed with this man already.
Well, you know, Kat, throwing it to you, this was supposed to be an appropriations committee hearing. But like so many times with the Democrats and what they do, I imagine they were chomping at the bit to take a chunk out of his hide. Of course, what he did is he crushed the Mueller narrative, which was already crushed by hoax. And they asked the question that should never be asked. Did you see the look on Rep. Shaheen's face when he said, yeah, there was spying? Your thoughts on that?
I thought it was great. It just boomeranged right back on them. I think they really thought he wasn't going to say anything. And he's like, yes. In fact, there was spying, and he kind of did a little roller coaster ride for him. First, they kind of thought they were going to get out of it, and they went, oh, and I will be looking into it. He goes, yes, there was spying. I don't have any evidence of it fully yet. Oh, but I'm going to look into it. It's like, get ready, buckle up. And their expressions were classic. It was awesome to watch. I agree with Ava. I'm impressed with them. I think it's fantastic because whether they like it or not, the Obama administration weaponized their intelligence agencies for evil, for no good, spying on a candidate as well as a president to dethrone a sitting president. It's stunning.
It really is. And it seems to go so much deeper, doesn't it? It's like Pandora's box got opened and they've been fiercely holding the hatch down. But, you know, you can't keep truth hidden forever. And it goes so much deeper, doesn't it? Because they got the media involved. The FBI leaked to the media. The media ran stories. And then those stories were used to file Pfizer applications. They leaked, and there's still a felon out there that leaked highly classified recordings of General Flynn. You know, there's a lot of supporters out here in, you know, Twitter land that are for General Flynn, and he got in the beginning really caught up in there. So, Ava, when A.G. Barr said that spying on a political campaign is a big deal, mm-hmm. Do you agree with that, and what are the ramifications?
Oh, it's massive. This is earth-shattering. It's not, and I got really... I actually was laughing at one point because they were splitting hairs about the words they were using. Like, somebody on the committee, I can't remember who it was, said, well, were they really spying? And, you know, that was surveillance. It was surveilling. And, you know, A.G. Barr was just so calm, cool, collected, and he just said what needed to be said. And he used the word predicated, and I could see them tapping that into their little Google dictionary, you know, because, you know, I'm really saddened to see it, how really ill-informed these people are that serve in Congress. I think that's probably one of the most eye-opening things I'm going through right now as a person, as a citizen, sitting here and watching this. I'm thinking, you know, who are these people and who elected them?
And that's just it. The unelected, we have the congressional people, but the players, and the FBI are, and I heard something about James Clapper possibly changing his tune a little bit because he was very adamant that, oh, no, there was no spying. He was all over the media, all over CNN. And now, you know, you
well,
can't
see, he
hide
didn't,
from it.
He didn't. He doesn't like the word spying. That's what he said. Now, he was the chief spy of the NSA, okay? And he's saying he doesn't like the word spying. But that's, in fact, what they're doing on all American mm-hmm. citizens, every one of us. They're
right.
listening right now. They're listening right now to what we're saying.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
You know,
I mean,
yeah.
they talked about several years ago this whole concept of metadata.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where every human being is being surveilled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's distorting. What they're doing is like the same old story of distorting words. It's like political correctness taking to a dastardly level.
You know what really frightens me, though? We're watching China and what they're doing to their population. And we're berating them. Okay, we're being very, you know, heavy-handed in our rhetoric against China. But really look at how the United States has morphed away from the Constitution, away from the Bill of Rights. And it's very, very nerve-wracking to me to see how close we are becoming China. We're becoming them.
That is a very scary thought. And this has been going on. I mean, they've been spying on us. We've been spying on them. That's just the way it is. And for them to, like, think that we don't see through this is really shocking.
And here's one more thing I want to mention, too, that I find very interesting, is what's his name? Julian Assange.
Yes.
I have to say it right. With him emerging now, and Snowden, Snowden originally exposed all of the NSA and everything that was going on there.
Correct.
Even though he's considered a very bad actor, a very bad guy. But just notice this. You would not even know about the NSA if it hadn't been for Snowden blowing the whistle. And I know he did bad things. I know they were against the law. And Julian Assange, he took the opportunity and tried to make hay with it, But there'll probably be blowback for that as well. But we would not know this stuff if it hadn't been for them.
That's true. Kat, do you see Julian Assange as a whistleblower helper or a traitor? Or a combination of both?
I knew you were going to ask me that question. I find that an extremely difficult question. I will say I think he's both.
Okay.
Because I have methods. His methodology, not entirely legal. I do believe a lot of times it is to shed light on things, but on the other hand, he's exposed troop movements, so I have a problem with that as a patriot.
I see.
Like, that's not okay. So it's a balancing act. I've seen polls out on Twitter, is he a hero or an evildoer? And I think he's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I actually think it takes a little bit of both to do what he does. So I say it's a toss-up for me. The troop movement for me is huge. That's what they're going to go after him for, I believe, more than anything. I'm kind of in the middle on that one. That's an extremely tough question for me.
How about you, Ava? Same question.
I feel the same as Kat on this. I think, there's a little bit of angel and a little bit of devil there, and I think he's probably going to get some kind of, in some kind of legal trouble for certain. Yes.
And do you think he'll be extradited?
I think he may be. I really do.
So
I do too.
You do also. Okay. So mm-hmm. I do too. I think we're entitled to some kind of explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that the truth will sting for a moment, but deception lasts forever. We can't keep these things hidden forever. Even if it hurts, even if he has to pay the piper, Julian Assange, we really need to see what happened. Because he was pretty clear, I think. He said that the leaks did not come from the Russians. What does that mean, Kat? Any idea?
He did say that. And I think he's true on that. I think so. Are you talking specifically on the DNC leaks?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'll say who I think it was. I think it was Seth Rich, and I think it got him killed. And, wow. It's kind of funny how bodies start piling up when people cross certain other people.
I know.
I don't even like to say it myself. Nah, I don't even want to say it either, but it's,
We're all on Twitter and I don't like to go there. I mean, I see uh-huh. those posts about what we're talking about without saying it, and I mm-hmm. really don't mm-hmm. like to do anything because I don't want trouble. We've got enough suppression.
Yes.
You've been suppressed. Kat, you've been suppressed. I'm probably under review, but it hasn't done anything yet. I tend to stay out of crossfire, but mm-hmm. I do put up, poems and things like that that can be a little edgy. So I wonder where this is going. But it really begs the question, if they really want to get to the genesis of the spying, don't they? And I think this has sent some shockwaves into what I call the hoax deniers.
I have a question for you guys. What if Julian Assange has Hillary's emails?
Oh my.
That would be delicious.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
It would be absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. Everybody's thinking it would be absolutely delicious if he had them. Mm-hmm. I mean, she thinks they've been bleach bit. I go through the whole diatribe that you hear every night, and it would be hilarious. Actually, the hilarity in it actually would be amazing if he had them. That would be fantastic.
And wouldn't it be amazing if that's why the United States might be trying to extradite him right now so that they can have him testify and get some information from him. So
that would be fantastic.
I mean, my question is,
I like that scenario.
My question is, why now? I mean, he's been in asylum for 7 years. And why now? I'm trying to get the connection.
Well, the timing is perfect. You have to understand.
Yeah, exactly.
The spying has now been revealed by AG Barr.
Yes.
And the investigation has now been publicly claimed to be happening. And we already know what, you know, Horowitz is doing. And we already know what Huber has been doing in Utah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all these various pieces of the puzzle are coming together. And I'm thinking Assange could possibly be a piece of that puzzle.
Wow. And it really begs the question whether we think that heads will roll. Will anybody be accountable? Will anybody be arrested? Will there be pre-dawn raids?
There'll be some.
Or is this just going to be another example of the hypocrisy of a two-level, two-tiered justice system? And I'm throwing that out to both of you. Kat, you can start on that. You think heads will roll?
Yes, I do think there's going to be some rest. However, I don't believe they're going to be the ones that people want to see.
Right.
I have a theory that I think that they are setting up. I believe it's going to be Brendan's going to take a big brunt on this. I think Comey's in danger, and I think McCabe is. But I actually think McCabe's going to sing. I think McCabe's going to give it up. And I think it's going to be Comey and Brennan, maybe a couple of smaller players. I don't think we're going to get to see Hillary Clinton or even Barack Obama held accountable for any of this. That's just my theory now. I would love to be wrong. But Brennan, pay attention to tweets that are going on out there. I know the world does not revolve around Twitter. However, they have so many tells. He's very, you've seen the ridiculous. He gets his little thesaurus out and he has to use his big, giant words. He's scared. He's absolutely going to be the fall guy. He's one of the first guys that picked up the phone and got the FBI on Carter Page. I think he's in deep water. Mm. I really do. I tell him every day that he's going to look fabulous in orange.
I mean, I would be happy enough if it just continues to tarnish the Obama administration. I don't see him being accountable.
No.
But it would be enough for me when they look back 25, 50 years from now or grandchildren's children, that they have a chapter that says, oh, his presidency was just really took America in a deep, deep dive direction. So, and Ava, do you think anybody's going to be held accountable?
Oh, yeah. I think Hillary Clinton is going to do prison time. And I also think Barack Obama will. And why I'm saying this is because there is evidence that she emailed him from her private server and that he replied back. Mm-hmm. So if they have that amount of evidence, then he knew about the server.
Yes.
And he already lied. He already lied and said he did not know of the server. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's one lie. But I mean, there are many, many more. And I think that the president that we have in charge right now is a real law and order guy. He's not making this up. He's not putting it on. This is who he really is. And he's exemplifying that by what he's doing. He's supporting law enforcement. He's making law to enforce law enforcement even more. Mm-hmm. And Kat can probably testify to this more than I, but I see him as such a, he's a 180 from Obama. I mean, in every way. And he wants to see justice served. He wants to see America healed. He wants America to heal. President Trump is a loving, loving person. Not many people realize that or think that, but I know he is. And, you know, you just have to study the man for a length of time to understand where he's really coming from. Yeah, he blusters. Yeah, he's kind of brash sometimes, you know. Yeah, he's, you know, he's kind of a an alpha male, you know. But
on that note, we're going to just take a short break. We'll be right back.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I want to continue on the theme that we're having the wool pulled over our eyes. Now, for several years, we've heard from the left that the border crisis is imaginary, fake, made up. And it seems like with this last week, where 100,000 people have come into the country, that it seems the focus has shifted a little bit. But my question is, how can we sustain this influx? After all, they come in without money. They have to be fed, clothed, housed. And all of that burden falls on you and I. So this presidential suggestion that we transport them to sanctuary cities, is this going to work? What do you make of the proposal, Kat?
I don't know if it's going to work. I agree with what he said. They want sanctuary cities. Governor Moonbeam, a.k.a. Brown, turned California into a sanctuary state. Pretty much, I think the president's response is, if you want them so bad, okay, I'm going to send them to you. You guys can pick up the tab at the city, government, and state level and keep the feds out of it, keep my tax money out of it. I think it's hilarious because now the Dems are melting down over it. Now all of a sudden, oh, wait, you're going to send them to my city? Oh, no, that's it. You know, that's not okay. But a minute ago, they were saying we didn't have a crisis. There's no crisis at the border. So the hypocrisy is definitely being exposed right now.
Well, they seem to be boxed into a corner a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because they've told us that, wait a second, a sanctuary is a safe place. And now I heard like Cory Booker saying that the president's proposal is creating fear and a dangerous place. So can you have it both ways? And I think that you're right. The hypocrisy of this is overwhelming. I mean, I think, you know, you made your bed, now sleep in it.
Absolutely.
But Ava, is there some kind of grand play going on here?
Well, the most interesting aspect is Cher and Trump actually agree on something. I found this fascinating.
yes.
Cher is very concerned all of a sudden about illegals being put into sanctuary cities. And there are many other people who are speaking out on the left about the danger of this. And the overwhelming aspect of it, Cher was very eloquent in how she explained they can't even take care of the people that are on the streets now. How can they add more? This is exactly what President Trump has been pointing out to us for the last 2.5 years.
Yes.
Or longer, you know, even prior to being president, he was pointing this out. It's a really, really insurmountable problem at this point. This is something, you know, and I've talked about this in the past on the radio, and it's Marxism. It's a tenet of Marxism. It's overwhelming our system to destroy our system. It's very, very much being plotted and planned and funded. These are not people. I listened to Bernie's town hall. He was saying how sad the immigrants are. They're coming here. They're walking hundreds of miles, mm-hmm. thousands of miles they're walking. They're not. They're being transported in luxury coaches, okay? And all that's being paid for by George Soros, People Without Borders, Pueblo Sin Fronteras. I can't even pronounce it, but I don't speak Spanish. So, this is all being done intentionally. That's what I'm trying to point out here.
Mm-hmm.
And is it really safe, this influx? Could you imagine, I have visions of the Ohio State-Michigan game, where they fill the stadium with 100,000 people. Imagine 100,000 people filing in, filing out, and getting bussed all over the country until next month when they fill up the stadium again. And as people in other countries realize that they can get in, the numbers will increase, won't they? I mean, yeah, in effect saying, mm-hmm. come one, come all.
The really interesting mm-hmm. thing, too, and I tweet this a lot, there is no other country in the world that does this, okay?
Exactly.
We are alone in this little joke of a immigration plan we have here. We're sleeping with the enemy. That's what I call it. It's just destroying this country. Everything that's American, every piece of our culture is being dismantled. And, you know, it will be the end of us. And this is why the left wants it so much. That's what you have to understand. It's not that they love these people. If they really love these people, people like Cher would be helping them. They'd be donating them millions to build, you know, housing for them and
yes.
so forth. They're not doing that. So,
exactly.
You know, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by it.
Unbelievable. So, Kat, mm-hmm. you know, what do we do? What's the reaction? Where are we going to go with this?
I think it's probably going to come to a head. They're going to have immigration reform. The sanctuary city debate, the immigration debate, the wall debate, this is all going to come to a head. The one thing that I do like about it is the way Trump approaches things and the way he's flipped the script on the Democrats, like you just said, he's literally got them boxed into a corner now. They sat there and said, there's no crisis on the border. Illegal immigrants don't contribute to crime in this country. What are you talking about? Well, guess what? Now they're backtracking on all that because he's saying, okay, then you want them, you can have them. We're going to send them to your sanctuary cities in your sanctuary states. And now they're like doing the dance. Oh, wait a minute. So that's one good thing, but it's going to have to be dealt with. We've got to slow this tide down. We're going to have to build this wall because for me, another thing I see with illegal immigration, if I can think this as a former LEO and as a John Q citizen, Jane Q citizen, there's infiltration going on in these caravans too.
Correct.
There's definitely terrorists are slipping into this country. If I can think that thought, that's happening. You know, that is not okay. So it needs to be handled. This is going to force them. I think it's going to force a bipartisan solution. I certainly hope so.
I hope so too, because in effect, there's been zero vetting, hasn't there? No vetting.
Exactly.
So it's just come in. We don't know who's coming in. We know there's been attacks on American citizen, and I think about, you know, Molly Tibbetts. Have we distorted the concept of a sanctuary for political reasons? Ava?
Oh, definitely. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
go Ava.
I'm reading a book right now. I have to tell you, it's called The Shot Caller. It's a book written by an illegal gang member who made entry into the United States, and he ended up in prison. He ended up getting out of prison eventually for good behavior and various other reasons. The Donald Trump, you know, prison reform program. He's written this book, and in the book, it's telling chapter and verse how he got in, how gang members are running this whole immigration thing that's coming in. They're getting paid handsomely by these people, by these George Soros groups. That's who's giving the money. They're paying the money for the illegals to come here, for them to be transported. They're giving them money, cash to pay to the, it's a bounty actually, to pay to the gang members. And he even explains in this book how they cover their tattoos, how they dress in clothing that makes them look like non-gang members, okay? This is a very, very calculated infiltration. That's what you need to understand, mm-hmm. okay? This is much scarier than you can imagine. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, I just think that it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been distortion of the word. I mean, I was looking in the meaning, the definition of sanctuary, and it comes from the Latin sanctus, which is holy. Mm-hmm. So the concept of a sanctuary is a noble one. People came into the walls of the Catholic Church originally, and I'm thinking now about Notre Dame, Our Lady of Paris. This mm-hmm. fire, to me, is symbolic. Whether it was accidental, whether it was sabotage, doesn't affect the outcome. What we're seeing, and maybe it's just the poet in me, I see symbolism that this really brings to a head the attack on God, the attack on the Catholic Church. Nobody is talking about this incident as, oh my, look what happened to the Archdiocese, the Catholic Church, really the central monument in Europe, possibly even the world, other than the Vatican. And nobody's talking about it. But I see a symbolism in this fire, and I don't even know if it's out. Does anybody know if the fire is actually out or it's still going?
I'm not sure either. I thought I saw a headline that said Macron said that it was under control, that it was almost out. But I couldn't confirm that.
And I know there are some French billionaires that are stepping up to rebuild, which is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really a tragedy. And I think it just points out that even in a sanctuary, there's danger. And
absolutely.
That's my point here. And, you know, back to the sustainability. I mean, these people are coming in without a language other than their own. And how can we, will there be jobs enough for these people, Ava?
No. The bottom line is automation is touching every part of our society right now, and we're eliminating many of the jobs that these folks would have been doing normally. Robotics are everywhere, as you know. Big box stores are closing. I mean, you know, restaurants are even changing the way they operate. We have Grubhub on an app now. You know, food can be delivered to your door. We use Amazon to buy home goods and products, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, our whole society is shifting and changing, and some people are very upset about it. There's really nothing we can do to stop that from happening. It's progress, it's technology, and, you know, some of it will be a much better world for us. However, the immigrants we're bringing here will be living off welfare. They'll be living off taxpayers, as you mm-hmm. can imagine. You know, they won't be able to support themselves because there won't be jobs for them. Big Agra uses almost all mechanical, robotic-type machinery now. I mean, there's very, very little for, you know, people that are coming here that can't speak English, that, you know, don't even understand our culture. And, you know, we're putting them in areas where, you know, they're not even expected to learn English. We're bending our culture, and
exactly.
we're printing everything in 24 different languages. And, you know, how long can this go on, really? Seriously, you know?
You can't. You know, yeah, so true. And, Kat, what came to my mind mm-hmm. is we know there's been a lot of pressure to eliminate ICE. There's been pressure over the last 8 to 10 years on law enforcement. As a retired law enforcement officer, what pressure do you see coming to bear on this caravan crisis? what is the pressure on law enforcement going to be nationwide if we start shipping all of these illegal immigrants to all the sanctuary cities all over the country?
It's going to be huge. There's going to be a multitude of problems. It depends on the department's stance. So you may have a department that is in a sanctuary city. They get these immigrants shipped there. There's going to be different ways that they're going to have to handle them if they commit a crime, per se, is what I'm trying to drive at. There's going to be a huge influx of people that don't know the laws. Ignorance isn't an excuse, but that's going to be the fallback. Oh, I didn't know. But then when they do get arrested, then what's going to happen to them? They go into the county jail system. They're going to put more strain on that system. Are they going to get shipped back now? So, nope. If they're in a sanctuary city, that they won't turn them over to ICE.
No, it's going to be 100% asylum.
It's crazy. But my department that I retired from just adopted, FYI, we're not going to let ICE know when we have people that need to be shipped back. We're not going to be turning them over to ICE. Heard from some of my colleagues that are like, yeah, well, they might still get a call from me, just saying. Because it's ridiculous. It goes in, I'll tell you from a law enforcement stance, I'll tell you all the cops that I know that do that job, that when the departments shift to that policy, it strikes at the heart of what they do. It goes completely against what we stand for. To be told that you're not going to be able to turn over these people to the proper authorities to deport them from this country. They get their due process in San Francisco if it's in California. They go to an immigration hearing and they go back across the border where they're supposed to go or wherever their country of origin is. But to tell a law enforcement officer no longer do your job, basically, it's awful. It's not a good place to be. To be honest with you, I'm glad I'm out of it.
Ava, when is this going to land in the Supreme Court's lap?
Well, I'm hoping President Trump will press this issue with AG Barr. I think Attorney General Barr is a man of law and order. I think President Trump is a law and order president. He's been very, very forceful and vocal, and legislatively, he's been very, very strong on law enforcement. What's happening in America right now? Our laws are not being followed. There is lawlessness, okay? Mm-hmm. And this can't stand. A country can't stand when laws aren't being followed. Laws are there for a reason. They're the guardrails that keep us, on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. And once those are being breached, and being breached daily, and without any concern at all, there's something very wrong happening. And we've got to right the ship. We just have to. And, I want to be a very vocal proponent for legal immigration of people mm-hmm. who are highly qualified. President Trump's bringing in H-1B visa people from India and all different countries, and they're highly skilled workers. And, yeah, some of them are taking American jobs. They are, because we don't have enough qualified people to fill those jobs. We're graduating people that are social justice majors, okay? They're not going to be able to work in the real world. Let me tell you right now, they're not. So we have to import people that have the high-tech education to do the jobs of fixing the robotics, of developing the robotics, of creating the AI programs, of, doing all of these things. That's the kind of immigrant we need. And we're not importing them. We're doing them on H-1Bs, but we need to have them coming here and adding to our country. Okay?
Yes. Well, on that note, we're just going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I want to start by saying what an honor it is to be sitting in for Ilana Friedman tonight. I don't know if you folks have had a chance to listen to her show, which airs every Wednesday at this time at 6 p.m. She's really phenomenal, and I would encourage all of you to catch up on her podcast and, you know, get behind her. But, you know, the entire movement at America Out Loud is really exploding. The articles, the commentators, it's just a fabulous place to be. And on because of that, I want to extend an open invitation to the many white and blue checks out there. For those that don't know what I mean, there are prominent figures on Twitter that tend to go to the mainstream radio and TV to showcase their ideas and themselves, and I would welcome them to come on to our platform, because there's a whole lot of grassroots support that they should not overlook. So that's a sort of a political announcement. But back to pulling the wool over our eyes. Candace Owens went before Congress, and I got to tell you, that nasty, rabid dog patrol led by Ted Lieu and Gerald Nadler just set me off. And I think they really distorted the events and just didn't listen. I mean, my God, they inferred that this prominent American black woman is a white nationalist. What can we possibly say to that cat?
Well, I'll say what I've said since I saw her on there. She absolutely owned the day, and she owned Ted Lieu. He thought he had a big gotcha moment. He used a shortened clip of her comments on Hitler, tried to make her look ridiculous, and he in turn made himself look like the fool he is. She owned it. She corrected him. And then she had Jerry Nadler telling her, you're not allowed to call somebody stupid. And she called him right back out too and said, I didn't say that. I said that he said that black people are stupid. I was so proud of her. I think she is one of the best young conservatives out there with a very, very strong voice, and I applaud her for what she did. She schooled them.
She really did. Ava, 4.7 million views of the clip.
This was actually a thing of beauty. Okay, those two men, you know, they probably went in the men's room and cried and held hands later on. I mean, I'm telling you, I thought this was the best smackdown I've seen for a long time. And Candace is one of my heroes. They gave an award to Jim Acosta this week called Truth to Power. They gave it to the wrong person. It should have been given to Candace Owens.
Absolutely.
I agree.
I mean, what is their fear of this woman?
Exactly.
They can't handle the truth.
It's
like the spying. They can't handle the truth. Mm-mm. You know, I hope that she would take the opportunity maybe to run for Congress.
Oh, I hope so.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it'd be amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, she's so well loved. I mean, I personally wrote a poem about 2 years, a year ago, called Awaken. And it was really a testament to her, what mm-hmm. she was saying about that it's time for the American blacks to abandon the Democratic Party and start to move more towards a conservative, you know, posture? And how important is the American black vote going to be in 2020? Ava?
Oh, I think it's going to be huge. You know, the other thing that I find very interesting, there aren't really just black people. I call them kind of blended people because in my world where I engage and live and work and talk and everything, I find most people are kind of a blend. You know, they're not white, they're not black, they may have, you know, Latino blood. I don't know. There's all variations on this spectrum. So I don't really brand people like by their color. Mm-hmm. I think the working class people in this country are often people that are various colors. And I think that they're looking at socialism versus capitalism. Okay.
Yes.
And they're making an estimate right now. They're looking at their tax return. These are people that are not stupid. They're making this country run. So they're pretty intelligent and they're looking and making, you know, decisions with their pocketbook as well as with their moral compass. And I'm telling you, Trump looks really good when you put those two things together. So,
well,
I think he will do very well.
And so Candace Owens really did shine, and there's no doubt about it. I just want to touch on the Bernie Sanders town hall.
Yeah.
I personally missed it, but you guys didn't, right?
Right.
So tell us what happened. Kat, let's start with you. What happened last night?
Well, hey, I'll give him props. He actually admitted under his plan, his little socialism plan, that he would indeed, your taxes will go up. But you know, that $28,000 per family that you're paying in a health premium, you know, for your health care because he wants, you know, Medicare for all, you're not going to pay that anymore, but you're going to pay higher taxes. He just won't say the percentage. It's some percentage of around about 70% increase. He forgets to include that little detail. He was very triggered last night at the beginning. It was very funny. Martha McCallum, I got to give her props. She held him to the fire. It was kind of a beautiful thing to see.
And Ava, your read?
I was just blown away by his rudeness to the host, mm-hmm. to Brett Baer mm-hmm. and to Martha McCallum. They were extremely gracious with him and very mm-hmm. kind. And their questions were couched in a way that would give him time to answer. But when he did answer, his answer was always bashing President Trump. That was his first goal. And I noticed mm-hmm. that a lot of the things that he was asked, he really did not give an answer to. And the questions that came from the audience were very surprising to me. I expected them to be much more on the left side of things. And granted, there were socialists in the audience. There's no doubt about that. But the people that stood up and asked questions, these were excellent questions. And Bernie had no answer. He had no answer for them. I live tweeted that whole thing. So, I mean, it's just fascinating.
So, Kat, any follow up on that? Any of the things you noticed?
I agree with what Ava said. He really, when the audience questions came in, I was surprised too. I thought they were going to be, I mean, there was clearly socialists in the audience because they were cheering when he would bat, every time he bashed Trump, the mm-hmm. audience cheered. But the questions from the audience were critical thinking questions. They were very well thought out. And she's right. He didn't have a lot of answers. He danced around a lot. And Martha McCallum several times redirected him back to the question. And then he would react with anger and be like, well, I answered. And she's like, no, you didn't, basically. I mean, she didn't quite come out and say those words, but that's what she was implying. She's like, no, let's get back on point. And he didn't have a good answer. I don't think he came out looking too great on that town hall, as far as I was concerned. And
I have one more comment, too, I want to toss in here because what's her name? Harris Faulkner did mm-hmm. a town hall the other night. I don't know if you guys happened to catch that, but that group of people was a mixture of people, and they wanted more civility in politics. And I'll tell you what, they're not going to find it with Bernie Sanders. They're not going to find it with Mayor Pete, who's attacking Mike Pence for nothing. Mike Pence has never said a word about Mayor Pete. And Mayor Pete is the one I worry about the most because he has that little kind Doogie Howser face. But beneath that face, that's a mask that he's wearing. And you be careful because beneath that, there is the progressive leftist domination going on. And you listen to his policies. Don't watch him when he's talking because he's like a snake charming you. And be very careful about this guy. And I just could not believe how uncivil Mayor Pete is. You know, they claim he's a graduate of, you know, all these great schools and he's done all these wonderful things. And, you know, he's a gay man and he's this and he's that, you know, and he's suffered and he's, you know, part of the, he's down for the resistance and, you know, the whole bit. But if this guy really is of that ilk, of that great quality, I'm not getting it in his message at all. So there's something wrong there.
Wow. Well, you know, I just get the feeling that this beat down Trump strategy hasn't worked. It's a losing strategy. It was proven in the 2016 election
that a beat down
Trump strategy hasn't worked. And because they don't have a platform, and maybe that's why Bernie Sanders didn't shine so well, because they have, it's like on quicksand. It's being beat down.
Well, that's funny that you said that, Ray, because you know what he said last night, and I know Ava saw it too. He said, well, if the Democrat candidates keep beating down on Trump, it's not a good strategy. We will lose huge. He actually said those words.
Wow. Yep.
But yet he couldn't stop himself. Because they can't stop themselves. And I'll tell you what, that's to Trump's advantage. He's going to win again because they cannot stop bashing on Trump. They can't stay on point. They always deviate. And Bernie pointed it out, and he still did it. Even though he was saying, we got to stop bashing on Trump. And then what did he do? Bashed on Trump. Yep. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Well,
spot on right there.
In the last few moments we have in tonight's viewpoint, I just want to get a quick lightning response. It appears that New York State is at it again. Last month, they passed legislation about infanticide, and now they passed legislation that tuition assistance will be there for new illegal immigrants, but not the children of Gold Star families. So, quick response, Kat, what do you think about this?
Here's the deal about that. At the end of the day, veterans' families, should not want for anything. They should always come first. That's my solid answer on that. What they're doing in New York State is appalling to me.
And Ava?
Oh, I think it speaks volumes about the left, you know, overall. This is their whole shtick, if you could call it that. You know, they want to give illegals everything and they want veterans to be forgotten and left, you know, left on the street. They don't care.
It's unbelievable. They served our country.
Mm-hmm.
They put on that uniform. They lost their lives. And it's not just them. It's a whole history of the United States. From the time of the British, through all the wars that were fought, to the current day. And to abandon them is just absolutely outrageous. I'm really ashamed that this was the state where I grew up. And we didn't care whose last name was what, whether it ended with a vowel or an ICH. It didn't matter. We were just kids growing up. But now it's just a mishmash, and it's becoming chaotic. You know, I just don't know what to say sometimes, but I do know this. We will not be fooled. We will not be deceived, and we will not be conned anymore. We're tired of all the word distortions, whether it's nationalism, or whether it's spying, whether it's a taking care of a veteran. It's time we face up to the truth. And even if it stings, it's better that the truth sting for a little bit than to have a world of deception. And, you know, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I want to thank, you know, Ilana Friedman for, you know, what she's doing on Viewpoint Midweek. It's been an absolute pleasure to me to step out from my Trump Chronicle. And, you know, the Out Loud Truth continues. Back in America Out Loud.